KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in East Oakland.
Cleveland Heights.
West Oakland.
I live in San Leandro now.
Upbeat.
Coming up, 3 years before the Stonewall riots in New York, the transgender community fought back here in San Francisco.
We had been beaten up, thrown in jail, arrested for obstructing a sidewalk, murdered and raped.
Then we'll revisit a legendary bar in San Francisco that was home to many in the queer community until it closed.
There have been nights when it's full of drag queens. There have been nights when it's full of rodeo cowboys.
Marlena's was a Hayes Valley gathering place that helped knit the city together through good cheer and glitzy drag numbers. It's a special prize show coming up on Cross Currents. In the 1960s, the Tenderloin District was the center for the LGBTQ community in San Francisco. But even there, they faced discrimination and harassment, often from the police. Felicia Elizondo first came from San Jose to the Tenderloin as a teenager in 1963. It was there that she took part in the Compton's Cafeteria Riot in 1966, one of the first LGBTQ-related riots in the country, preceding the Stonewall riots in New York City. Today, Elizondo is 72, and she calls herself a, quote, screaming queen, a pioneer, an icon, a legend, and a diva. In the San Francisco StoryCorps booth, Elizondo talks about the path that led her to become an LGBTQ activist. And a quick note to our listeners, this story does contain mature content.
I came with a one wig, a blue dress, and shoes. And that was my initiation to being a female impersonator prostitute. Of course, I was scared. You didn't know who was going to pick you up. And you have to understand, at that time, we had been beaten up, thrown in jail, arrested for obstructing a sidewalk, murdered and raped. They took me to jail for standing on the corner and soliciting five undercover cops for prostitution. I was drunk and I had just taken a pill, and I felt very, very bold. So I propositioned five guys to come to bed with me, and they were all cops. So they got me for five counts of prostitution. But you know something, it wasn't like bad, because the next day you go to court and they would just throw it out. I did get raped one time before my transition in 1973 or 72. I came to San Francisco to party, and I went to the Alley Cat, and this guy asked me to dance, and I wouldn't dance with him. And then he came up to me and got a hold of my arm and pulled back and put his hand over my mouth and dragged me out of the club and took me to my car. And he was telling everybody, "She's my girlfriend. I caught him with somebody and she's going to pay for it." I guess they called the cops, but they couldn't find us. He hit me. My wig fell off. And he says, "Oh, so you're one of those." He pulled out a knife and was going to kill me. But I said, "I'll do anything for you. I'll do anything you want me to. Just don't do this." And we did our business, and I told him, I begged for my life. And I told him, "I'll give you my phone number, and you don't have to do this to anyone. Call me, and I'll have sex with you. Just don't do this to anyone else." And he let me go. And I thought I was immune to AIDS. Oh, I'm a transsexual woman. How am I going to get infected? No way. Came to San Francisco one night, got drunk, and picked up this cute white boy. Took him home, and And I guess that's where I got it. And after I was diagnosed, I didn't think, oh, it was a big surprise. Oh my, how horrible. I think it was given to me because I deserved it. Because of all the shit that I had done. But I decided to turn it around. I decided that the best thing for me to do is to educate the lesbian and gay community about our transgender community. A lot of people think that I'm a hero, and I don't think of me as that. I just think that this is the work that I was meant to be, meant to make. I don't want to be remembered. I don't care if they name a street or me. I don't care about anything like that.
That was Felicia Elizondo, an activist for transgender rights, in an interview from StoryCorps, produced by Ian Lewis and facilitated by Yosme Del Maso. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. We're going to fast forward from the early days of the gay rights movement to 2013. Much had changed. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell ban on LGBTQ military service in the U.S. had been repealed. Gay marriage was on the cusp of being legalized in California. RuPaul's Drag Race was celebrating its fifth anniversary. And when Marlena's, a legendary queer drag bar in Hayes Valley, announced it would be closing, many in San Francisco mourned the end of an era. Back then, KALW's managing editor David Boyer spent a month with the bar's namesake and patrons as they celebrated the place they loved and grappled with its ending.
Hello, gentlemen. Can I see your IDs?
Oh, yeah. How's everybody doing out there in Marlena Land? Don't go outside. You can't come back in.
How to describe Marlena's? That's a tough one.
Versatile.
It's a drag queen bar.
The sports drag bar.
Marlena's my neighborhood bar.
It's not just a bar, it's an institution.
It's animal friendly and animals are welcome.
For 22 and a half years, Marlena has been here.
And with all of the demographic changes in the neighborhood and everything, this place has retained its character.
I love their Christmas decorations.
There's over 1,400 Santa Clauses in December. That is overwhelming. This bar has been a magic place. I've had many mayors in this bar. Willie Brown, even Ed Lee was in here once.
It's one of those places that people talk about San Francisco being this wonderful city. It's old school. For people who haven't been here, the building is ancient. It's an old Victorian. It has catered to a clientele that is incredibly varied.
From different segments of society, different employments and so on.
There have been nights when leathermen are in here. There have been nights when it's full of drag queens. There have been nights when it's full of rodeo cowboys. There have been nights when you can look across the room and you can see there's a guy who really probably is gay, isn't sure about it, and is just checking this place out for the first time because it's safe. It's not a quote-unquote gay bar. There's a little mix of people in here, but he feels safe enough to come in here and just kind of, like, check it out.
Give it up for...
Gia!
Gia!
I'm a heterosexual straight man who I'm basically just a cross-dresser. And it just so happens that I like to perform too. When I first got to San Francisco, I used to hang out with a lot of straight crossdressers. They were okay. They just, most of them were married or and hadn't told their wives. I've already been down all that road. So, you know, it just got old and it wasn't any fun. You know, I came here and this was a lot more fun and it appealed to the things that I wanted to do. I didn't think that I would ever have the opportunity to perform on stage. And the fact that I got to do that, you know, Marlena pays me to come and do the work, you know, as far as doing the DJ and everything. And I can tell her this now because we're at the end, but she could have gotten away with not paying me at all. I would have come and done this every week for free. No problem.
The first time I came to Marlena's, I was with a friend of mine. We both liked drag shows, and we knew this bar did a drag show, so we came out and we had dinner, and we came in here, and I was standing at the bar waiting to be served, and I'm the kind of person who says hi to the person who's next to me, and it was him, and I said hi to him, and so every week when I came in, I'd always see him, we'd always like talk away and everything, and then I decided I really liked the guy, so I was going to ask him out on a date.
And I'm so dense, I didn't realize that she was interested in me at all. That was, you know, why would the girl be interested in a drag queen?
The first date we went out on was the first time I ever saw him not in drag. So, and I just had to pray that I would actually recognize him out of drag. I did, just.
When you meet someone, you know whether it's going to work out or not. And so we got married, and we've been married 5 years, and the last 5 years, she's been coming here. She actually became a part of the show, and it's a great story from the standpoint that, you know, Marlena is a, you know, a mixed or gay drag bar, and the fact that a couple of straight people met and got married. And I think that's the part about it that I'm going to miss the most, is that it was a place, you know, the island of misfit toys, where they knew they could come here because they weren't going to get bothered by anybody, because it was okay with us, whether you were a Twinkie or a gay boy or a cross-dresser or whatever the case might be.
Where would the drag queens go and feel comfortable? Nowhere, because, you know, the honor is in drag, because Marlena is a drag performer.
I am Gary McLean, the absolute 25th Empress of all of San Francisco, Marlena the Magnificent. An Empress is elected by the people to represent the gay community of San Francisco. I've been here for 38 years. I'm not a born San Franciscan, but I'm definitely a San Franciscan. I live right upstairs, above the bar. I'm gonna get my whatever I'm wearing next together. I think I'm gonna wear that blue one next. I have a dressing room downstairs. And I have so many wonderful, wonderful people that help me. And I help them.
Bobby Pins, who's got them? Someone hand those to me. Can I swap you places? Yeah. I am touching Marlena up for the end of the night and fixing her lips and putting a beautiful headdress in her hair and helping her with her wig because I love this bitch.
Two more Bobby Pins, sister.
Wait until the queen who really owns this hair comes down and says, "Where's my hair?"
I don't think I'm an ugly man, but I don't think I'm a beautiful man either. I'm an old man. But I do think that dressed up just like I am right now, I look pretty. Look at that. See, just putting the gloves on changed the whole little animal. And I have been able to use it for the betterment of our people. I'm shocked at some of the money we've raised over the years. It's just staggering. This bar last year raised over $100,000 for charity. And so from within my soul, I feel great.
Yeah, smile.
Perfect.
How many of these rings are we putting on?
All of it.
No, I don't know. All of it. Look at her. I'd rather have this. All that can say.
Okay.
Thank God you were helping me. Thank you.
This dress is really long.
I know it is.
So
I take it in my hand.
I got it.
Oh, he's got it. Oh, cool.
Elena, I'm going to say goodbye too.
I love you, honey. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
She's ready. Oh, no, I'm lying. All right. No, you need to go up to Mr. Aspen.
All right.
There's a definite change between Gary and Marlena. Always has been.
Marlena loves to be loved. She was like that when I first met her, and she still is, you know.
You saved my life.
Well, quite honestly, I like Marlena better than I like Gary. You know, once the wig goes off, he's Gary, and very work-oriented, has a great work ethic. That's why this bar has lasted, I think, as long as it has. But he does most of that as Gary and not as Marlena. He don't want to work when he's Marlena.
Ladies and gentlemen, the absolute Empress 25, Marlena!
In 1990, I came over here and it was just a little neighborhood bar in a rundown neighborhood. The whores working across the street and the drug dealers and everything.
The freeway passed overhead, and so it was the home to all those sort of nefarious undertakings that go on under a freeway, and it was bustling.
It was the overpass, because the freeway was still here.
I wasn't here 3 weeks, and John said, "You're my man." He was the owner at the time, so I bought in. It was risky. On the other side, the freeway was busy, but on this side, there was nothing. Empty building.
When it officially became Marlena's, and she wanted to do shows here, drag shows. A lot of my friends at the time didn't like that aspect of it. Some left. Of course, the AIDS epidemic was hitting pretty hard at that time. So a lot of my friends were dying left and right. You could see the change coming. And I stayed, because I live across the street. But a whole new crowd of people, you know, at that time.
I got off of work one night. There was no time for me to jet up to the Castro. And I thought, oh, there's that place in my neighborhood. I'll go there. So I got in here about 20 minutes to 2. And Marlena was behind the bar in drag. Am I in time for last call? She goes, sure. I said, can I just please have a perfect martini up? Well, she sets it down on the bar with another half shaker full and goes, that'll be $4. And I went, I am coming back here.
The first time I came to Marlena's, it was soon after it first opened. It was like just a local neighborhood bar, but everybody was so nice and everything, till you just didn't bother about how it looked. You just came in, bought your drink, and sat down and talked and enjoyed. And so everybody was like, oh, I went to this bar, Marlena's, and man, everybody's really cool. So go there, you know, and that's the way it kind of started out. Everybody was just nice. And of course, Marlena was number one, because Marlena greeted everybody with a, hey, come on in, and hi, my name's Marlena, and da-da-da. So I've seen, you know, the shows, and sometimes I've missed them, but, you know.
Pat Montclair decided one day, she was working for me, that we were going to do some shows. She took a 4x8 piece of plywood, set it on top of the pool table. And finally, I had a stage built. And it just sets on top of the pool table, and curtains around, as you can see.
Then Galileo came in, and then that's when we started up the Hayes Follies.
And it just developed.
Please welcome to the stage, Miss Galileo.
When we first started, it was weak in the bar. There was not that many people. And now we have 45 minutes to an hour to get in. Sold out every Saturday night now. My shows went from 85% gay to sometimes it's 10% gay. On Saturday nights, it's almost 100% straight.
More and more people that normally wouldn't walk in the door are coming in here, and now it's a popular neighborhood bar.
I saw this neighborhood go from nothing to what it is now, and it's phenomenal.
We were here to help Hayes Valley grow. And that's growing with it.
And it's going to grow faster and more.
Success begets success. If I were in a position to open a new business, whether it was a bar or a retail store or a restaurant, if I saw a neighborhood that was coming up where new building is going on, as is what's happening a block away and is what is projected to happen right next door, I would want to be there. I would want to move in. I would want a piece of that action. But all of the businesses that were here before, the little independent mom and pops, Powell's Chicken, they're gone. And it's become rather homogenous, unfortunately.
You know, it looks good and it feels good in certain ways, but it's a real shift. I can't afford to leave because I live in a rent-controlled apartment, but it's not the neighborhood I moved into.
Fact is,
metropolitan areas, urban centers are always changing. Nothing stays the same. Anything that stays the same is, in fact, dying.
Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Mark Leno.
Good evening, everybody. How's Hayes Valley doing tonight? This has got to be one of the most bittersweet moments for all of us. But I think it is appropriate we just take a moment from our drinks to say thank you, Marlena, for years and years. In our wildest fantasies, we could not have imagined a place as welcoming, as wonderful, as heartfelt, and I hope if your successor owners are paying attention to the line out the door, that this is a formula that works here in Hayes Valley. We don't want to see a lot of change.
I'm tired. I'm real tired. And I think it's time.
You know, Marlena's owned the bar for 22 plus years. She's 70 plus years old. She's worked hard her entire life. I don't blame her for wanting to sell the bar, you know, and take that money and enjoy it while she can.
We weren't even up for sale. They started coming, you know, I guess one telling another while I'm checking it out. We didn't even have to go through a real estate agent.
My first reaction, I was kind of surprised. Why? Why would you do that?
It's like a dinosaur that's leaving us. Gorgeous dinosaur.
The response has been phenomenal. I'm basking in the love.
I feel like my life hasn't been wasted. The fact that people even want to know the story, you know, it's a wonderful feeling.
It's the last day.
I'm dying inside. They'll probably have to drag me out screaming, saying, okay, Marie, the bar is closed now. You got to go home. But I just don't want to leave it because it's just been so nice.
Having this bar closed just means another huge drastic change in my life. You know, I'm used to coming here after work. I'm actually uncomfortable and a little scared and, you know, to be alone.
Okay, this sounds really gay, but I'm reminded of a quote from The Wizard of Oz. End of the movie, Dorothy says, if I ever go looking for my own true heart's desire, I'll never look any further than my own back door. Because if it's not there, then I never really lost it. And coming here has been like that. It's been surrounded by neighbors, meeting people that I would never have met ordinarily, and all of it just being part of the rich, wonderful tapestry of living in San Francisco.
Hey folks, this is it. Say hello and say goodbye to one of my favorite persons, Miss Marlena.
These days, Marlena's is a different place, a straight bar with industrial decor and millennial patrons. A few folks from Marlena's crowd still gather from time to time at a sports bar several storefronts away, but the block is unrecognizable with its new luxury condos and high-end restaurants. One thing that hasn't changed, Marlena still lives above the bar that once bore her name. Since Marlena's closed, San Francisco's also bid farewell to its oldest gay bar, the Gangway, its only lesbian bar, the Lexington Club, and its last all-drag, all-the-time bar, Divas. This is just part of a wave of queer bar closings across the country. But the Stonewall Inn in New York City not only remains open, in 2016, it was declared a National Historic Landmark by the National Park Service.
hurricanes are stuck up in the subway. Some people say we always had a poverty and peace and never nice that commodity, but probably we all got it wrong and need to accept God's plan every form. Word born, this is for people living in tents near the train yards, to the midst of penitentiary or the graveyard. This is for the indigo and the eyes of the Tuareg, peering the night sky, Chirac or Baghdad. This is for the 1% 199 problems, the sweat that drips down right before the person robs them. This is for the grandmother's prayers, the last lifetime, the babies that never made it and couldn't draw a lifeline for you.
This music is by the Doggone Lights from San Francisco. They're playing at Hop Monk Tavern in Sebastopol on Thursday night. Today's team includes Janae Darden, Sophie Codner, Lisa Morehouse, Adriana Morga, True Quinn, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Jocelyn Tabankai. Our engineers are Tariq Foda and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Kristen McCandless with help from Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Warfare, so it's a commodity and like